I want to say good morning again. My name is Brandon, if I haven't met you, and I welcome all of you online. For some of you who may be new around here, maybe you're here with us on Easter, and you go, I thought the other guy was Brandon. Well, there's two Brandons, and we have to really clarify that, because if you meet his wife, and then somebody introduces you to my wife, and they just say, this is Brandon's wife, you wonder, what kind of church is this, okay? So we have to really clarify that right up front. So there's two of us. We speak at both campuses, 50-50. We spend 50% of our time at both campuses. He's at our Columbiana campus today, which, by the way, if you missed last week, we announced 30 acres for our Columbiana campus. Come on. Isn't that good? That's exciting. Yeah. If you're a part of Easter, I want to say thank you for joining us for Easter. We served over 1,300 people for Easter weekend at Cultivate Church. Come on, isn't that awesome? That's a big deal, serving and loving on people. To all of you who served and made it possible, I want to tell you thank you, because look, that's what makes it happen when everybody comes together and we serve our community together. So thank you for serving so well, all of you who did. Hey, I'm excited about today. We begin a brand new series called Establish 2012. And that's the year that we planted and we began Cultivate Church. And you know, the difference in doing something for God or not doing something from God is a simple yes or a no. And many people, I love it, over the years, I go, wow, I'm so glad you had the faith to step out and do that, and all these like incredible things. But the reality is, I think we were just too dumb to say no. Like, God said to do it, and he just knew we would be crazy enough to do it. And so we just stepped out on faith. And really, to be used by God, that's all you have to do, is you just have to be willing to say yes. You don't have to have any special capability. You just have to be willing to do what God's called you to do. So in 2012, we launched in Thompson High School, the old Thompson High School. We were portable for a couple of years, and then after that, we got kicked out of the school because of the school system, and we were moved to a little old building across the street. We walked up. Pastor Brandon, being a man of great faith, said, oh, God's going to use this. And I'm just being honest with you. I said, well, it was a good 2 years. We tried really hard. I said, nobody's coming in this building. I said, Doss, I would not stop and go, well, let's go to church there. I would never do it, but God used it. And then in 2018, we launched the Columbiana campus, and then we've been through this building here, and just all the way, it's never been about any building. It's never about a location or anything else. It's about the life change that Jesus has brought over the course of 12 years. So today, I want to bring this series to us, Establish 2012, because I want to talk about one of the most important things on the planet, and that's the church. See, in our culture, we devalue the church. Value the place of the church. Many people today go, well, I can be a Christian and I don't have to go to church. I don't need the church. Well, you can be married and not go home, but I can promise you your marriage is going to be a lot better when you roll up to the house after work. Okay, everybody, let me just help you out with that. So I think it's important, and not because I'm a pastor. You go, well, I expect the pastor to go, I need everybody to be in church on Sunday, right? But no, this is the heart of Jesus. Let me show it to you. At the top of your outline, Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus says, now I say to you that you are Peter, one of his disciples, which means rock. And on this rock, so on your back, Peter, on you, I will build my, underline this word, church. And the powers of hell will not conquer it. There's a lot of things that Jesus could have chose to build. You know, Jesus was a pretty incredible guy. I don't know if y'all know that about him, but he had a lot of skills, a lot of abilities. And Jesus could have said, man, we are going to build the best business. We're going to turn this place upside down. It's going to be the biggest business. Everybody's going to come, and we're going to give the hope of God, and I'm the Savior of the world. We're going to do it through this business. He could have said, you know what? Instead of traveling and performing these miracles, I'm just going to build a hospital, and everybody's just going to come to the hospital, and I'm going to go hospital room to hospital room, and I'm going to give lollipops, and I'm going to give miracles on the head, and everybody's going to be healed, and we're going to do it that way. Jesus could have said, we're going to build an entertainment company. I'm going to get the funniest of the funniest, the most talented people. We're going to do the circus. We're going to do a sideshow. We're going to travel. We're going to get tents. People's going to come. Jesus could have done anything, but what did he say he was going to build? He was going to build his church. So my life, having met Jesus, my whole desire of my life has always been to build his church. And let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean a building. It doesn't mean a logo. It doesn't mean a name. It doesn't mean a platform. It doesn't mean a personality. The church is every one of us. When he said, Peter, upon the rock I'll build my church. By the way, Peter, that means rock. He said, on every one of you who follow after me, that's my church. It's not about anything you see. It's not anything that you read. It is the people that I want to build, and I'm going to build my church. So today, what I want to do is begin this journey. There's a lot of things you'll hear us say that are unique to us at Cultivate that we say around here all the time that's a part of our DNA. So every week we're going to unpack some of these statements that we say around here. And today I want to begin with what I believe is the heartbeat of who we are. I titled your message, Whosoever Will. Because we are a whosoever will place. What does that mean? It means that anybody from any walk of life, from any background, from any experience, from any skin color, from any nationality, from the city, from the country, it doesn't matter where we're from, what we've done, where we've been, every single person is welcome in this place. We're the family of God. And some of us get a little uncomfortable with that, but let me tell you, when we're uncomfortable with that here, you're going to be really uncomfortable in heaven, because that's what heaven's going to look like. Because God created all the world. He called us to all the world. And so as a church, we are a whosoever will place, let them come. It's the heartbeat of Cultivate Church. I want us to all look different, feel different, and walk different. Today, I want to talk to you about it. I'll give you just a moment before we get to the outline. But in Luke chapter 19, I want to give you a story. And so if you got a Bible, you can turn there. Some of the scripture will be on your outline in a moment. But it's a very popular story. It's been in church for any length of time. Does anybody know the story of Zacchaeus? Anybody know this? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. What'd he do? He climbed up in a sycamore tree. Why? For the Lord he wanted to see. Come on, some of you went to Sunday school. Give yourselves a hand. You didn't know that was going to come back in handy at all. I don't know why, but I feel really a kinship with Zacchaeus. I don't know if it was the vertically challenged thing. I don't know what it is, but I just feel this kinship with Zacchaeus. But I want to share this story with you. And it begins in chapter 19, verse 1. It's on the screen. It says, Jesus entered Jericho. He made his way up through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector. Here's what that means. You're familiar with the mob? Don't tell me why you're familiar with it, but you know. So in the mob, you got the big boss, and then you got everybody else. In this financial mob, Zacchaeus is the big boss, okay? He's the chief tax collector. And he became very rich because he took advantage of everyone else. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but man, there it is. He was too short to see over the crowd. I feel you, buddy. So he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. And he said, Zacchaeus, quick, come down, for I'm going to your house today. Verse 6, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, and they took Jesus to his house in great excitement and great joy. But notice verse 7. Verse 7 says, but the people, they were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumble. Today, you and I get an option of who we're going to be in this story. And unfortunately, today, in the context of our church, not this church, but the Big C church, I'm afraid that some of us have forgotten why the church exists. And we like to grumble, and we like to complain, and we say, well, what are they doing here? Does people not know what they've done or where they've been or what they've been through? See, people don't begin to look at what Jesus is looking at. We get a chance today to either grumble or complain or to bring people in. This is not abnormal for Scripture. In Mark chapter 10, some of you remember the story. If you want to notate that, Jesus was out and crowds were around. Parents were trying to bring the kids to Jesus, you remember? And they told the kids to get away, and Jesus says, no, let the kids come to me. Well, I think's great in Mark chapter 10 is it notates that Jesus got angry. Now, I love that because he's over there overriding it down. Oh, man, the parents are bringing the kids to Jesus. Oh, we done ticked Jesus off. Jesus is mad. What did he do? Did he, like, get red-faced? Did he pop off at him? Did he throw something down? I don't know what Jesus did, but he was ticked, and they notated it. I love that moment in Scripture. They were trying to keep people from getting to Jesus. There's moments in Scripture where there are people that are blind and they can't see Jesus, but they hear it. And the blind goes, "What? Who is that? What's going on?" And they said, it's Jesus. And they start yelling at Jesus, Jesus, come heal me. And what do they say to him? Be quiet. Be quiet. You have no right to talk to. This is the Son of God. Don't talk to him. But what did Jesus do every single time? He made his way to those people. Jesus and the heart of Jesus is to be a whosoever will Savior. Let them come. So in this house, as we build this church, this is a whosoever will church. And I want to tell you, I've shared this story 100 times, so some of you heard this before, some of you hear it for the first time, but I want to tell you, this is the DNA of why I believe this so much. Brandon Dawson and I were we did kids and youth ministry for years, for about 10 years together. We used to have an old, just rickety church van. True story, every Wednesday, he would climb under the van, he would bang on the starter with a hammer to get it to crank. I would crank it up, and then once it started, you couldn't turn it off. It wanted to go on its own, so you'd have to keep your foot on the brake at all times. You'd have to kind of work that thing together. And we would get in this van 3 p.m. every single Wednesday. We would drive until about 6:30. We'd have church at 7. We were loading up hundreds of kids from every direction. We would pick some up, drop them off, go to another direction, drop them off. Right after church, we got right back in that van, and we would drop them off until 11 p.m. every Wednesday night. These kids were coming from all different parts of the community in all different areas. One of which was my favorite, was an area that you didn't want to drive through by yourself. It was drug infested. It was gang related. I used to drive through and there'd be a popsicle truck coming through at nighttime, like the ice cream truck. And there'd be ding, 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 like 10 o'clock. I'm like, guys, what's the ice cream truck doing here? They said, oh, Pastor Brandon, you know they ain't selling no ice cream out of that truck. I said, oh, I understand now. And they wouldn't let me drive through like, good to see you guys. They said, no, Pastor, you got to let the seat back a little bit, you know. And so they were helping me out. But actually, I dug up some photos I wanted to show you guys, because I've never showed photos before. I dug this up. It's one of the little communities we're in right here. We just did a random Thursday night. We went up there and we fed hot dogs and we set up music. And in the next picture, you'll see a young Danielle Doss. Go to the next one over. You see her right there in the blue shirt? Yeah, so we were having a good time. I said, young Danielle, wait to the next one. Look at Pastor Brandon. Bishop got his polo shirt tucked in. Bless God. He's probably reading out of the KJV, I guarantee it. I guarantee it he's reading out of the KJV right there. We were having a good time. And that little guy right there is me. Y'all don't know it. But I was playing drums, man. We had kids gathered around. What you don't see is people all over hanging off the balconies, sitting on the stoop, coming out getting food. Man, we were having the best time. And we pulled hundreds of kids out of this neighborhood. We actually started in the neighborhood on Wednesdays. They gave us an abandoned apartment. We started doing kids ministry every Wednesday in one of their abandoned apartments. We outgrew it, so then we started taking them to the church in droves. I'll never forget the day we sat down with my pastor, who was well-meaning. He just missed it. But I was a young guy in my early 20s. The pastor sat us down. He said, hey, boys, he said, listen, I need to tell you something. He said, I don't think we need to be picking these kids up from these communities anymore and bringing them to church. He said, we got some parents complaining that their kids are mixing with the gang kids and the, you know, in the drug communities and stuff. Man, it run all over me. I said, well, I need you to know that them kids are better than the church kids. These church kids are disrespectful. These kids, if they heard this conversation, they'd mess you up right now to take up for me. You know what I'm saying? And I'll never forget what I said. Maybe disrespectful, but I said it. I said, well, maybe they need to find a new church because Jesus is for everybody. And this next statement, and here's why I'm sharing this with us. This next statement is the foundation of why this church is a whosoever will church. Well-meaning, and I still love him, have a relationship with him today, but he looked at me and he said, one day if you ever lead a church, you'll understand. And I want to tell us today, and I say it with great respect, and I say it with great conviction, we're 12 years into our church, and if that makes you uncomfortable, this is the wrong church for you. There's great churches all across Shelby County, but we're a whosoever will church. This is who we are. But how do we become that? Because I know some of us, we get a little uncomfortable. I don't know how to do that. Well, today I want to show you three simple ways through this story of Zacchaeus and his encounter with God about how we become whosoever will people that make up a whosoever will place. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you so much for your church. Thank you for loving us and letting us be a part of it, God. God, I pray today that we look more like you, that we have your heart, not a religious heart, but we have your heart. And I thank you for this church because this church has your heart. And today we just want to remind ourselves of why we do what we do. So thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if we're going to be whosoever will people on your outline, the only way you do it is you see things the way Jesus sees it. You see through his eyes. So number one is you have to see the person. See the person. People matter. I don't care what sin they're in, they're people, and they matter. I don't care if we agree. I don't care if we disagree. People matter. People deserve respect. People deserve love. People deserve to be valued. It does not mean that we endorse sin. It doesn't mean that we encourage living away from God's best. But what it does mean is that is God's son or daughter, and they are valuable to him. He died for them, so they should be valuable to us. They didn't see value in Zacchaeus because what they saw was a man who had taken advantage of him. But notice this in verse 5. It says, when Jesus came by, this is important to notate, he looked up. I don't care if you circle it, underline it, do something. He looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. The greatest thing you can ever be called is by your name. You can hear your name in the middle of a crowd, and what do? You tune out everything else because it's personal. It's you. And he looked up and he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. This is what I love. Jesus is right in the middle of this crowd. How do we know it's crowded? We know it's crowded because little Zacchaeus, little short man, he had to get himself up in a tree. He had to shimmy up on a limb so he could see Jesus because he couldn't see over the crowd. Now, all these people wanted Jesus' attention. All these people wanted something from Jesus. They wanted an autograph. They wanted their kid to be talked to. They wanted their miracle to happen. They wanted their sin to be forgiven. Everybody wanted something from Jesus. But in the midst of all these people, what did Jesus do? He looked up. You know why? Because he's looking for a Zacchaeus. And because he knew Zacchaeus was looking for him. See, Jesus looked up and saw the person. Everybody, here's our struggle. In our culture, all we see is everything that's around us. All we see is the result of somebody's sin. We see the consequences of somebody's actions. We see their skin color. We see their neighborhood. We see their politics. We see those dumb posts they put on Facebook. Everybody, stop doing it. Because we start judging and we start putting things. Somebody has hurt us. Somebody's done something to us. And all we can do is we begin building these barriers up in our life. And you know what we do? We insulate ourselves into what we like and what's in our box. And we can't see anything else because we have every distraction right in front of us. I got to confess something to you because I want to go to heaven. On Easter Sunday, I woke up and I had a message on my phone, a Facebook message. And I picked it up and I looked at it. And on Friday night, I just took a little video of worship. It's incredible here. And I just posted, wow, look, you know, it's just awesome, the presence of God. And so I had this message under that little video. Somebody commented on it, and they said, little dark in there, isn't it? And the message was from a sweet older couple from the church I grew up in. And I looked at the message, and you know how somebody sends you a Facebook message? There's a history, you know, of conversation and things that's been posted. What was really unique and struck me about this was in 12 years of planning this church, people who have known me my whole life have watched me on social media, and the one message in 12 years they decided to send me was that it seemed a little dark in this room. It got me, everybody. It's Easter Sunday, but I'm going to tell you, it got me. But I'm going to tell you what I did. I just put the phone down. I said, nah, it's all right. Ain't no big deal. I had this knot in my stomach, but it's all right. It's fine. And then I went to the kitchen, and I cut my tablet on because I was going to put my notes on it. And then the notification popped up again. So this time, standing in my kitchen, I put this bad boy in desktop mode. And I just said, respectfully, if you want to say the truth, you just say respectfully first. I said, respectfully, I said, this is the first message in 12 years you've ever sent to me. So 12 years ago, we went with no money, no people into a city because we felt like God told us to start a church. I said, this weekend, there will be thousands of people who will gather to hear the hope and the life change of Jesus. And all you can see is it seems to be a little dark in the room. Respectfully, I think you need to check your heart. Because if all you can see is a lighting cue, you're missing the whole thing. To which I got a message back, I didn't mean to offend you. I'm like, read it again. What outcome? Like, I'm missing it because I don't know what other outcome we've got here. And I just let it go. I ain't responded back. I thought, in this whole thing, still the part you're sorry for is that I was offended. We can get so far down here. Do they sing it this way? Are the lights this way? They got flowers up there. Where's the communion table? Who cares? Because we can get right down here. But we're all guilty of it. What did Zacchaeus do? He got above the distraction. You know what he did? He elevated himself. He got above the trees. He got above the crowd. He shifted his perspective. See, when I get up here, I can see everything a lot different. I see some of you guys with a beautiful head of hair in the front, and I start to see it's thinning right back here. I couldn't see that right here. I couldn't see it. I can see your faces. I saw some of you that were settling into a nap that when I got here, suddenly you got a little straighter. And that's okay. It's okay. Rest in the house of God. I can't see you right here. When I stand right here, these lights are so bright. I can't really see all your faces. But right now, I can see which one of you combed your hair. I can see everything. It's a different perspective. When all we see is tradition and experience and sin and consequence and cars and money and social status, and when all we can see is all of these things, and yet we can't see the fact that Jesus is walking by. I want to be in the tree. I want to be where Jesus can see me. I want people to see there's hope right there, a city on a hill that can't be hid, a light in the middle of the darkness that somebody got above the nonsense and the stuff of the world and said heaven and hell is real. Because here's my fear. When we get so caught up in that of what we think ought to be here, we're going to be really disappointed when we get to heaven. But my greatest fear is that eternity is going to be a lot different than we think it's going to be because we missed heaven. Because we really miss Jesus, because we were so worried about everything else. We got to get above it. Because you know what happens when you elevate yourself above everything else? Jesus sees you too. Jesus is looking for churches, people, not buildings, not logos. Nobody knows my name, and I'm 100% okay with that. I don't want anybody to ever know my name. I don't want to be anybody of anything. You know what I want them to know? I want them to know Jesus. When people leave this place, you know, the greatest compliment that ever happens here? It's not, oh, that pastor's great, you got to go. You know, no. The greatest compliment when somebody leaves this building is the presence of God was in that room. And my life has been changed. And that's what happens, everybody. When we elevate and we get rid of the nonsense and we are a whosoever will place. Why? Because that's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus responds to. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was looking for him. Who are we looking for? Jesus sees the person. See people. Number two, Jesus sees potential. This is why Jesus wanted to get to Zacchaeus. This is why he wanted to go to his house. Because he didn't see what everybody else saw. He wasn't looking at the tax collector. He wouldn't look at the liar, the cheat, the greedy person. He saw something else. Because notice this. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, notice this, I will give, underline the word give. Now for Zacchaeus, this is huge. I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And if, and that's a very weak if, okay? He's being very humble there because he already knows. If I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. He wasn't saying if. That was his shameful way of saying, I've cheated people. But I'm going to make it right. And I'm going to give them four times as much as I took from them. And on top of that, Jesus, I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor. See, some of us think this is a financial thing. But this is not a financial thing. Money was the reason this little guy got out of bed every day. It was the reason that he got up and dangled his legs over the bed and slid out and started his day. He thought about it. He eats, sleeps, and breathes another dime. Nobody mattered to him. You were nothing more than another purse to shake money out of. You were nothing more than another wallet to get something for himself. But in this instance, He said, Jesus, I will give you everything. You know what that was? It was a life surrendered. Everything I have lived for, everything that identifies me, everything that has pushed me and been the purpose and the mission of my life, I will lay it down. I have status. Everybody hates me, but they still know my name, right? As long as they're talking about me, there's no bad news. You know how the, I'm going to lay it all down, Jesus. Now, let's be very real. All those religious people, oh my God, he's going to Zacchaeus' house. I thought this was the Son of God. He wasn't even wearing a tie. I can guarantee you that most of those religious people grumbled and squealed every time they gave 10%, if they gave it. Now, breathe easy. I don't check that around here. You could be a millionaire, and I don't know it unless you tell me. That's you and the Lord. But if we're honest, come on. Come on, some of us, we can't even do the 10% thing. Well, I don't know what the church is going to do with that. I'll just do it on my own. Well, do you know how much 10% is? I can't live. Do you know what inflation is right now? Do you know how the economy is right now? I can't. No, you can't. And when I do it, live that way, I can't do it with 100%. But I can tell you what, when Jesus gets in the middle of it, Jesus is the one who can. And money is one thing that motivates us to get up every Monday to go somewhere you do not want to go, do something you do not want to do, with people that you don't even want to do it with, and you'll do it for 40, 50, 60 hours a week, all because you anticipate money. But when it comes to the Lord, I'm not giving money. This is not about telling you today to give money. But this is about a man that everyone else discounted. People that wouldn't even do it themselves. I don't want to be rude, but respectfully, I wanted to say, how many people did you serve on Easter weekend? How many people did you invite to church this Easter weekend? See, we complain about stuff. We can get in this thing. We complain about stuff that we don't even do ourselves. And you know who Jesus is looking for? The one who will submit everything to him. Jesus knew this guy would do it. That's why he saw the potential. A whosoever will church sees things that other people don't see, which causes us to do things that other people will not do. When other people see hurts, this house sees healing. When people see addiction, we see freedom. When people see division and they fight over everything in this house, we see unity. When people see brokenness, we see restoration. In depression, we see joy. In things that are dirty, we see things that are clean. We see potential. We don't see the problems. That's whosoever will. See the person. See the potential in that person. And the number three, what keeps it all together, is you have to see the purpose. When we remember the why behind the what, everything else is clear. Life has such a way to get us so involved in what we do every day, but the reality is many of us can't even define why we're doing what we're doing. Is it to make us look good? Is it for some self-fulfillment? Is it to prop me up? Is it just to fulfill my desire and something I enjoy? Is it so that I can gain? Why do you do everything you do every day? And when you define the why, it helps put priorities in your life. Verse 9, Jesus responded, underline this word, salvation. Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. In verse 10, this is why Jesus showed up. This is why Jesus is in his house. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus said, I wanted to come to your house today because I could see it in you. I knew that if somebody would just take time to call you by name, man, if somebody would slow down to see you for more than what you do, but the potential of who you are, my purpose today is to tell you there's hope for your life. And because of that, salvation has come to this home. Everybody, the reason we're on the planet is because we have a purpose, to seek and to save those who are lost, to take people who have no hope, to connect them to the greatest hope that's in Jesus, and watch Jesus transform their life. All through Scripture, this is who Jesus was. For God so loved the world that he gave. While we were still sinners, Christ gave. We're to go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus said, whosoever will, let them come. We're whosoever will church. That's why we make room. That's why I'm going to do this again one more time. That's why so many people are going to serve all over again. That's why we are investing in a new campus for Columbiana. It's not to build buildings. It's not. It's to build people. People are the kingdom. This house, whosoever will, let them come. And I'm so grateful for it because I'm a whosoever will. I tell people all the time, they let me come, so they'll probably let you too. If they let me in the door, they'll let you in the door. So here's my prayer today. Number one, many of us, we haven't even had this interaction with Jesus yet. And then some of us have, but we've kind of forgotten what it's about. And today's nothing more than a realignment to say, God, let my heart be your heart. So will you bow your head with me, close your eyes. If you're our guest, nothing weird, funny is going to happen. Nobody's coming to get you. I'm not going to make you stand, but I just want to pray for us. If you're watching online, right where you are, just let this be a moment of no distraction just between you and the Lord. And here's what I want to say. If you're in this room today and you're online and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, look, today's the day. This is the beginning. Come as you are, who you are. God sees the potential in your life. His whole purpose was you. That's what Easter was all about. And yet here we are today, still celebrating Easter. Because that power and potential is for you, even today. And all you have to do is just make a conscious decision to put Jesus first in your life today. And then for those of us who would say that we follow Jesus, we live for Jesus, we belong to Jesus, if you mean it, if it's a desire for your life, that you really want to have a burden for people, and you really want to see heaven grow, and you really want to be a part of that, ask God to give you that burden. That was His. The whole gospel is His burden for us, His pursuit of us. And that's what He wants us to have for all of His kids. A burden so that we'll pursue them. And so I want to ask you, if you have that desire, just ask God to put it on your heart. I promise you He will. And He'll equip you to lead others to a saving grace in Jesus. So Father, today, for all of us in this room, for all of my friends who are watching online, God, it's my prayer today that it'll be even one of us that can't with all certainty say that we have a relationship with Jesus. We just choose for today to be our day. Jesus, we choose to put you first in our life. And we do that by asking forgiveness of our sin. We realize we've messed it up, we've missed it, we've fallen short. And God, we need you. That's the hope of eternity. Jesus, we recognize that it's through you. And so today, we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for relationship. We thank you for loving us. And God, for all of us who follow you, let us be reminded today that everything is temporary. It's fleeting. But eternity is forever. God, give us a desire to be whosoever will people that would be inviting to others, that we would see the person, the potential that rests in their life, because it's our purpose on this planet to bring them to you. Thank you for loving us enough to trust us with the greatest mission of all, and that's to see salvation in the lives of people and eternity get bigger because of you. Jesus, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name.